We're invited to experience God's word this morning as recorded in Luke's gospel. I'll be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer, night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. May God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word.
Before we begin, I want to do something a little different, because we have just passed the most astounding year, at least in my life, and maybe in yours, I'm not sure, I won't say that, but in my life, it was the most astounding year, with a lot of valleys and a lot of hills and a lot of hope, and it just makes me excited and wondering about 2017. So what I want to do right now is, everybody, you don't have to stand, just sit where you're at, and let's sing the doxology, all right? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Great expectations. We are not going to give up our thought here concerning God's eternal plan and his strategy. You might see there that I've added something, though. However, they look like lines. They look like a yellow and a red line. It's because I don't know how to picture the rapture or the second coming of Christ. I mean, I have some images, But I can't even imagine what those are going to look like. I probably won't even see the rapture. It's just going to happen. In a twinkling of an eye, that's faster than I can see. And then his second coming, we're going to be right on his heels. You realize you're coming back with him during his second coming. Have you ever noticed, as we've over the last month or so, as we've seen this, that it looks like those are all fantastic things. Now, remember, even the law. Those are all kind of like mountaintop experiences. All mountains, all wonderful things, all great things God is doing. But what's in between? Some valleys. Some darkness. Even God-appointed darkness. And you remember that Zechariah and Mary and Elizabeth and Joseph are in a time of darkness. Darkness is over the land. It's just before that cross that darkness is over the land. And they're in a valley. And yet God has prepared them. You got to think about Zechariah. He was a righteous man. Elizabeth was a righteous woman. They were righteous people and up in age, and they had been prepared for that time. I don't know how, to what extreme, but they were brought to a time, and they were prepared. They didn't know they were prepared. They didn't understand, but they were brought to a time where God had prepared them in advance. And so with Joseph and Mary and others. We, you and I, we have a mountain in front of us. We have some other hills, I think. Some nice things that are going to happen, I hope, in 2017. They're not going to be maybe as high as the rapture. Maybe. But there will be some good times, but there's also going to be some valleys. In fact, if 2017 is any picture of what is coming, we should expect some valleys, but not without the mountains. 2016, we had terror. We had the Middle East issue. U.S. and Israel breaking apart. Death. You realize that over 100 popular musicians died in 2016? Did you realize that two of Jefferson Airplane men died on the same day? Strange. Very strange. Over 150 celebrities died last year. It's very strange. But even closer and stranger is when somebody dies close to us. My mom is in heaven, and I still, it's been almost 10 years now, and I still, it doesn't make sense to me. Strange things and valleys, and yet the rapture is ahead of us. And we need to know what those mountains are so that we can face the valleys. The Bible reveals in general and many specifics as well what these mountains are. And it even suggests and actually paints a picture of some valleys. Read Peter. Read the Revelations. Read Daniel. They're going to tell us of the valleys, the dark things that we're probably already experiencing. The hate, the self-love, the giving up of God and truth. But there's a mountain in front of us. And we need to know that mountain and focus on that mountain and expect that mountain to be revealed. In the Old Testament, it revealed the valleys of the Assyrians and the Babylonians and what Jerusalem was going to face and the dark times, but it also revealed that the Christ was going to come, and he's revealed. And in the background of all this, in the background of all the major prophets, if I say, name some prophets, We'd all stand up and we'd get Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel out of the way right away. And then some of us would get to Amos and Habakkuk and some other ones. I wonder if you would name Simeon and Hannah and Anna. Her name is Hannah or Anna. They're both right. Would we have gotten those before we come and are remembered, like Gary said, that we're reminded that actually these are two prophets that are kind of in the background. And so 2016 is behind us. It's kind of dark. But I want you to know that 2017 is mapped out in front of us. It's already mapped out. And God knows. And so we shouldn't go in concerned. We should go in with all the knowledge that we can access and all the information and all the expectation and our hope. And we listen and look for those people who are going to help us through, like Simeon and Anna. You got to remember that as we go into 2017, that if we're going to have any hope, remember the negative side, the valley side. You can't have hope unless you have pain. There's nothing to look forward to unless you know something, we've got to be saved from something. It's kind of like, I've mentioned this, I think, before, but you go into the bathroom, and the bathrooms are, if it's dirty, you go, I can't wait for the person to come and clean this up. You know that somebody cleans it, and it could be clean. And that's what's going to happen with our lives and our world. God is going to clean it up. And so understand that when we talk about hope and the great expectations, that you say, okay, now I need to be ready. And I need to help others be ready for the valleys ahead of us. I was going through some songs this last week, and you remember that song, I believe for every drop of rain that falls. And the singers, there's several singers, one Leanne Rhyme, I think, and others. And they say, you know, I believe, and they talk about leaves and skies and babies, and so we go, yeah, that's Romans 1, you know. But then it's interesting in this song, they actually put the contrast in this song. When I hear a baby cry, a baby's wonderful, a cry is not so much. When I see the rain drops, there's going to be flowers. When I see the darkness, I know that there's going to be candles. And then there's this line, I believe for everyone that goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I hope we can have that belief because God has the message. Do we have someone to show the way? I believe God prepares us for 2017 and what's in front of us. I believe he sends us, and I believe he also sends help to us. As we enter 2016-17, we can go in with great expectations. Prepared in advance, like Simeon and Anna. So out of this story today, we have two ordinary people, and we can learn from them. In a time of darkness, they see the light coming, and we can learn from them. I first want to talk about the idea of prophets and prophecy so we can understand this going in here, okay? It's very important, and I'm so grateful for Gary and his teaching this morning. I'm glad I was able to sit in on it. Do you realize that there were four women prophets in the Old Testament? There was Miriam, Exodus 15, Deborah in Judges 4. By the way, when a guy didn't step up to do the work, the women are always going to get involved. Thank you, women. Huldah, the priest went to see Huldah in 2 Kings 22, and Isaiah's wife in Isaiah 8:3. Let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about about prophets. And it shall come to pass, it says in Joel, it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Now you remember the idea about dual and even triple prophecy. I mentioned that to you before. I'm going to mention it again, okay? Joel is talking about the last days here. He's specifically mentioning the last day. You know that because it says the awesome day of the Lord. That should be capitalized, actually. It's a specific time. But you remember also that Peter quoted this in Acts 2. He said, don't be taken back by this, what's happening here in the morning. It's before noon, and these people are prophesying. They're not drinking wine. They're speaking in tongues. And they're prophesying, and people are, and this stuff is coming about. But what Peter doesn't say is the last part of the sentence there, or last part of the paragraph. He doesn't quote before the great and awesome day of the Lord, because what Peter is saying is this is for a time now. That day of the Lord is still coming. But Peter is saying the prophecies and those visions and stuff were starting then. Okay? The question now today for you and me is, are they gone? Does it still happen? So let's talk about this a little bit. In Jeremiah 23:28, it says, the prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. So whatever happens in prophecy, when it regards to prophecy, it better be from God and it better be the truth. You remember, it's 100%. You get one wrong, you're dead. If they got one wrong, they were stoned. All right? Jeremiah 9:12. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken that he may declare it? So whenever it comes and wherever it comes, or to whomever it comes from God. So that we make that clear. We don't make up our own. We don't say, hey, this is a great idea. It comes from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, and this is where it comes down to the church here. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in various tongues. And still another, interpretation of tongues. So let's talk about some very, very minor prophets. Now, I want to suggest something here. That major and minor prophets, there's nothing major or minor about the person. It's about the size of the letter. So when you go to Amos versus Isaiah, it's the size of the letter. That's it. Okay? So now, when you come here, look at these very, I call them very minor prophets, because they didn't even write a letter. But I want to give you a picture of how many show up. It wasn't Paul, it wasn't Peter, it wasn't others. Look at these. In the church at Antioch, there was prophets and teachers. And then a couple are named: Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a childhood companion of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Well, wait a minute, where's Isaiah and Jeremiah? Where's the other guys? I understand. And look at Saul. His name is still Saul here. Not even talking about Paul. Acts 21. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. So let's just go on here a little bit. Another minor prophet in Acts 11. One of them, named Agabus, what a name, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread through the entire Roman Empire. And then Acts 21, the same Agabus. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. So, in Luke 2, this is Simeon, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He took him up in his arms, that's Jesus, and blessed God and said, in other words, and prophesied. And Simeon blessed them and said, and there was a prophetess, Anna. She began to give thanks to God and to speak of him. Or in other words, speaking. They're both speaking out of prophecy. They're both speaking out of a knowledge that God had given them through the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to suggest to you that in nowhere, I don't know what you've heard and what we've understood. This is a kind of a controversy, but this has not ended. This is not done. 1 Corinthians 12, and then Romans 12 and some other places, but just look at this. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all. So this is the key, that when we say, how can this be, this person be doing this, teaching this, saying this, they think there's somebody. And we need to be really careful about that. And we're going to get to that in a second. Because it's from God, or it is them. And we'll talk about that. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's for everybody. And so here's the gifts, the wisdom, knowledge, gifts of healing, gifts of workings of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, that's discerning, tongues, interpretation of tongues, all those empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each individually as he wills. By the way, in Romans says you add administration, you add exhortation, you add generosity, you add leadership, and you add mercy. So you have all these gifts. And let me say this. They're all from the same God. They're all from the same Spirit. And so it doesn't make one person better than the other, because it comes from the same God. What do you have that the Lord has not given you, the Bible says? So let's understand this. Now, what some people want to do is they want to go through this and say, well, when you say we've got to throw out that one, and we've got to take this one out, and they're just haphazardly going through and picking some that they say have ceased. Well, why do they do that? They go to this verse. Love bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So that's the one that's going to go on forever, okay? As for prophecies, they will pass away. When? Because as for tongues, they will also pass away. When? As for knowledge, it will pass away. So what we want to do is say, well, we know knowledge hasn't passed away because we still got the scriptures. But we can do away with those other ones because they sound weird and there's too many problems with them. There's too many problems. So let's just do away with tongues and prophecies. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, in other words, when you're raptured and you come back to earth, this stuff is going to be null and void. Unless Jesus wants to do something in the millennium, teaching and all that stuff. What I'm saying is, when we're taken to heaven, we don't need this stuff anymore. Because this is all for the common good. Now, I want to give you something that I think through experience and through the history of the church and through looking at the scriptures and things, I just want to make my opinion here. I'm going to give you my opinion. And I'm going to say it's my opinion. There's no valid reason for me to suggest that any of these have ceased. So why don't we see them all the time? One, I think they're abused. Horribly. Two, what are these for? For the common good of the church. And if the church is doing pretty good, we probably don't need a lot of prophecy. We probably don't need people speaking in tongues. We probably don't need miracles. I'm just suggesting. But if you go to the third world country, if you go to the people who don't have what we have and haven't been through what we have and don't know what we know, they're still getting this stuff. And so just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's gone, okay? But you may keep in mind now, as we go into 2017, just like Joel said, and just like Peter was saying, as we go toward the mountain, Satan is going to make sure he can dig that valley as deep as he can get. And God is going to say, I can overcome that. And I'm going to use you and other people to do it. And so we're going to talk about this. Do not deny that God is still can, able, and is doing these things today. So let's go on. The first thing that you have in common with Simeon and Anna is that you have the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about them. And it had been revealed to him, Simeon, by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. Verse 36 and 38, this is Anna. And there was a prophetess, Anna, and she began to speak of him. So you can't be a prophetess without being filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, I left a verse out, and I'm going to pop it up here. This is what happens when this gift is initiated at a certain time and event. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, you can go back to the Old Testament, and you can see what happened to Samson, and happened to Saul, and happened to others when the Holy Spirit came upon them. At a certain time, it was always during a certain time, a specific event for a short time. And so if they're prophesying, I'm going to suggest that, okay, God is saying, I want it done at this time. I don't need it in 2016. I don't need it in 2017. We don't know. But we do know that God works through people at certain times. Let me give you a suggestion. Somebody who you know has a certain gift. Let's leave the teaching and the preaching and stuff aside. Let's talk about mercy. Let's talk about generosity. And God gives you the ability to do that. He gives you the heart to do that. You're not doing it all the time because you don't have enough money. We have all what we need, so there's no real problem for that. But you're going along in your life, and all of a sudden you are prompted by the Spirit. Hey, I can do this. In fact, this is my time. And it's no different than when it comes to healings. It's no different when it comes to prophecy. It's no different when it comes to other things. You know, think about this. I want you to think about this. Prophets, they're all temporary. And so are people who give mercy. And so are teachers. We all die. We all have a period in our life where we do these certain things. And they're all for specific events. God is saying, I need somebody to step in here. By the way, this person is righteous and devout and filled with the Spirit, and they are ready for this time. My question for 2017 is, are you ready for your time? Do you know your gift? Are you ready for when God says, I need you here? Now, it may have nothing to do with those mountains in the long run, but it may have something to do with somebody getting to that mountain and being ready to be raptured. You're part in their life. And Simeon and Anna are here at a specific time. And so, the thing that we have in common, for through him we both, you and me, have access to the Father by one Spirit. So you are able, okay? But are you willing? Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout. I would say he's willing, wouldn't you? He had a high degree of willingness. And Anna too, as there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, and of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years, from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. Some people can't really figure out whether she was 84 until then, or she was 104 until then, because it's kind of hard to figure out in the Greek, but this lady was over 84. Okay? That's the point. She was advanced in years. And she had been ready for this time. In other words, she set her life aside for God. She was going up, fasting, and doing all these things. So she was willing. The question is, are we willing? If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, there's a degree of willingness. Silver, costly stones, or I think I'm just going to use a piece of wood. That's my willingness. This has to do with how much I want to get involved. The day will bring it to light. Now, there's a reward for all of this. But the question is the degree of willingness you have, the same thing as Simeon and Anna had. The third thing you have in common is some kind of expectation. They had a great expectation as they looked for this, the consolation of Israel. What is this word? It's comfort. It's the peace. It's when this guy, when this man shows up, he is our peace. He's going to settle it all. The problem is it didn't settle it right then. There's the caveat. Because even Simeon told his mom, you're going to have some valleys. There's some valleys coming. He's got a name that opposes. Remember, he didn't bring peace. He brought a sword. The peace is of those who reconcile and who with God has pleased. They have peace. But God, with Jesus Christ, the world does not have peace. Joy to the world. We pray that. And he is joy if we accept him. But he's comfort to Israel and the Gentiles. And she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Why was she fasting? You don't fast unless you have some kind of hope and some kind of expectation. Okay? We have a degree of expectation. Remember that in the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world? And Paul goes on, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. And every time I come across this verse, I just want to make you understand, I just want to make sure we understand this is not simply talking about heaven. Heaven is a place and a time. The things that God has hoped for us, in store for us, is now, because I have peace now when I shouldn't have peace. I should be in dread right now because of the death that is in front of us all. But he has given me peace. So we have a degree of expectation. And what I want you to get, as we go into 2017, I don't know about you, but things in this planet are very odd right now. And the Middle East is just coming unglued. In fact, actually, it's coming together. And the United States is polarized more than ever. If we think Trump is going to fix our problems, we got another thing coming. Especially if he stands with Israel. He's going to galvanize the polarization of this nation. I believe it. And so we must be ready for those valleys, and so in order to give hope. The fourth thing in common, you and I have a message. Let's look at their message. First of all, who it's to and what it is. And he came in the spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He had gotten the message, I'm going home. He had a message. God had a message for him. You're going home. According to your word, not a written word, but a personal word to him. And for my eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Look, it's in the presence of all peoples. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. In other words, here I am. Here's the Savior. Turn. That doesn't mean they will. But he's saying, I am here. And the glory to your people Israel. This is their salvation. This is guaranteed. Not for everybody on the earth. But for true Israel, it is guaranteed. That's the message. And then he goes on with the message. He says, and his father and mother marveled at what was happening about him, said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed to the fall and rising of many. There's the valleys. That's the valleys before the hills. A sign for the and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So he had. He had a message for the Gentiles, he had a message for the Jews, he had a message for himself, and he had a message for Mary. That Mary, this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. There's going to be hills. There's a huge hill in front of us, but there's valleys that you have to go through as well. Now, so our message. Jesus said, God said to Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he said to me, get up and go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So, coming 2017, we can take a couple notes from the Old Testament. From Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. So here we are, coming into 2017. Have you read yesterday's paper? Will you read tomorrow's paper? I'm not saying read the paper every day. I'm saying understand the times. I'm saying that we should know what's going on. Because when we're in those valleys, you can say to people, hey, hang on. Let me show you in Scripture what is coming. Now, I was really pleased to hear Gary again say this morning that I think this goes deeper than this. I think it just goes deeper than a prophecy for the Jews and the church, and I think it talks to the individual. You are going to have friends, you are going to have families, and you yourself are going to go through some experiences where you are going to need a word from God. You are going to need a godly person to come alongside you and say, I understand. I don't understand your experience, but I understand the valley. And I want to help you understand the mountain that's in front of us. And the Lord may give you some kind of time, event, teaching, whatever it is through that. I'm not saying that you are going to prophesy. I'm not going to say you're not. That's to the Lord. But you have a gift to give for the common good of somebody else. And so when you're in a valley in 2017, you're understanding God, you're understanding the times, you're understanding life and death and sickness and health. And by the way, God's going to use some of your experiences that you've had in the past to help others in the future because you understand it. And so understand the times. And this king, during the time of Esther, he went to wise men who understood the times. And I think I told this Wednesday night or something, but I'm just astounded by the number of preachers today who say, you don't need to read the papers. You don't need to learn and understand all that stuff. That's hogwash. It's hogwash. The gospel is Jesus Christ saves us from our sins. He's shown you, he's got a strategy and a linear plan to get you there. Let me show you where it's at. Oh, I don't understand what's happening over here. Well, let me help you understand that. So that's our time. That's our attitude in 2017. Now, the Berean Jews, who were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Again, going back to what Gary was saying this morning, he said, I think there is a balance. You have to have a balance between the Holy Spirit being devout to him, being set aside for him, and then understanding the word. Now you have those two together and you go sit in a closet and see if it does any good for anybody else. It does not. But you do those two things and then you understand the times, you understand the situation, you understand life and death, you're going to be a very helpful person in 2017. And by the way, if you're in pain, if you meet a valley in 2017, you reach out to somebody who's in that position, who can help you and pray for you and fast for you and tell you and sometimes tell you, but mostly just be there. Reach out to them. Finally, do not treat prophecies with contempt. but test all things. So what we want to do is we say, oh, I don't believe. See, I'm going to tell you something. I told you I was a policeman. I told you I was a first sergeant. I told you I'm a dad and a grandfather. And I want to hold everything into contempt, you know. I just want to question everything and everybody because I don't believe everybody. And you see so much of people destroying, at least trying to destroy God's work in false prophecies and false healings and all this other stuff. However, test the spirits. Because you do not know whether God is going to be doing something for you or wanting you to do something for somebody else to get them to that second mountain. And I'm going to say this. I think that the closer we get to the rapture, the more devastating it's going to get. Remember, Jesus says these are the beginning of earth pangs. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And he's going to show you and reveal to you and help you through those times. And as it gets darker, you can say, Lord, you said you were going to be here for me. Please show up. Please show up. And he will. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. I want to leave with this. Why did he have peace? Why was he able to die in peace? He was in the middle of darkness for the longest time. His nation was corrupt. But yet he had a great expectation that the Lord had given him for the Savior. That's part one. He had the expectation and he held on to it. Number two, he fulfilled his mission. And you and I, every single one of you, has some kind of expectation for your life, for this church, for God's church, for rapture, for whatever. And knowing those expectations, I mean, we even have negative ones too. We know what's going to happen to the planet, you know, and the world. But we have great expectations. My question is, are you asking the Lord to give you a mission to fulfill, and will you fulfill it when it comes? Lord, we look forward to the day when we see your face. We look forward to the time, Lord God, where prophecies are going to cease, and tongues and interpretations, and having to discern between one evil man and a good guy. Help us, Lord, now do that. But one day it's going to end. We pray, Lord God, that even now during 2017 that our gifts will show up according to you, according to your will, according to your mercy, according to the need of someone out there who needs our help through you. We pray these things because you are God. We pray these things because you have given us peace and we have hope. Help us to share it with others in possibly a very dark year. We're praying for opposite. Well, we pray for your help in 2017 in Jesus' name. Amen.